step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Ween Wednesday. Ryan Kelly, Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. The top story in St. Louis, Giancarlo Stanton. Will he be a member of the St. Louis Cardinals in 2018? A gentleman who has been monitoring this story in Florida and on MLB Network Radio, and certainly has become a gentleman that we have been monitoring with what his information is Craig Mish, and he joins us right now in the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Craig, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's like every day we're just waiting to see how this is going to pan out. It's really interesting, but thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us. You certainly have given your perspective over the last few months. This isn't a one-month phenomenon on the Marlins and the discussions with Stanton. And we had you on the show, I think it was in August, regarding the perception that in the Marlins front office, Stanton would not approve a trade to St. Louis. But as you noted, yesterday evening, the Clark Spencer report in the Miami Herald stating that the Marlins went to Stanton in October and said, okay, if you're not going to approve a deal to certain cities, then you're just going to be part of a major rebuild here, and we're going to trade Ozuna, we're going to trade Yelich, and that's our leverage, is good news for those in Cardinal Nation. That was your tweet. If you could, give your perspective on the Clark Spencer story in the Miami Herald, what you're hearing, and why, in your opinion, it is good for the Cardinals.
Sure. Well, and that's really the key here for me personally, and I'll kind of take you back here, because when it comes to me, like, reporting, you know, I'm not very stuffy with it. I don't mind kind of taking you guys behind the curtain a little bit. So, you know, back in July, when the trade deadline came apart and it came about, I remember Stanton's season was going very well, not to the point that he completely was, you know, the MVP best player in the league in August and then had a good September. But at the time the trade deadline came up, I had asked the source if the Marlins had heard from any teams and what was the potential for him being moved. And he had told me at the time the potential at the deadline was low, but the Giants and the Cardinals had shown the most interest. I was the first to report that, and also reported at the time that he was at the time not interested in going to St. Louis, not because of the Cardinals, which I told your listeners, and it was more of a lifestyle with just living in the Midwest. He wanted to live out west in California. So before Clark's story came out yesterday, and, you know, I'm constantly doing follow-up on this, trying to break the story. It's a big deal. It would be a big deal for me, obviously, if I got it. I had asked before the story came out, is there a better chance now that Stanton would accept a deal to the Cardinals? And the answer that I got was yes. And so that took me by surprise, because here I am, the guy in July that reported that he wouldn't go there. So at this point, I'm holding on to the information because I have to do some background on this. I can't just report this all of a sudden. I would look silly saying in July that he wouldn't go, and now all of a sudden he would. I have to find out why. And lo and behold, the story comes out from Clark, from the Herald, who I know very well, with the report that the Marlins are in forcing him in some way to accept the deal. So my yes that I got from my source yesterday, as I put out on Twitter, I'm not sure if this was a yes that he wants to go, or if this is a yes that they think that he'll go because they're going to force the situation. So more background from me, the tweet that I put out with Cardinals Nation being more optimistic, they have to be at this point. If this is the tack that the Marlins are going to have, I cannot see Stanton flexing his muscles to say, no, I'm not going to go. I'll stay here. and I'll show you. I think it would be the opposite. I think he would just say, you know what, better off I leave, and that would put the Cardinals more in play than they were 24 hours ago.
Wow. So to be clear, is it a case of yes, he would accept a trade to St. Louis, or is it a case of yes, it is more likely now that he would accept a trade to the Cardinals?
I was told yesterday before the story came out that it was more likely, but I don't know the particulars behind that, and that's the more work that I need to do on my part, whether this is an indication coming directly from him or just the Marlins' belief at this point because of what they plan on doing to employ some sort of forced tactic. So I don't have the answer to that. Yesterday, I felt like maybe the yes was him being more likely from his own perspective. And now I'm not sure. Now I'm thinking that maybe it's just because the Marlins are, you know, as Clark's story pointed out, are willing to kind of make him sit here amongst a team with no one else but him. So I don't have the answer to that, but I still do believe, regardless, based on that report, the odds do increase of the Cardinals acquiring it.
I guess it all boils down to the fact that Stanton isn't saying anything, so we are all left to speculate. But I was trying to put myself, and I guess all of us were on the dais here, in Stan's position. If you're going to make $300 million, you live in a fantasy palace in a penthouse in Miami, and is that the guy you're going to play chicken with in terms of you accept this trade to a place you might not be happy with? How do we know that Stan would say, okay, I'm not going to stay here another year and try to force your hand to deal me at some other point to a team that has a location where I feel like I'll be more comfortable?
I can only go back in history, and I don't have any specific instances, but it would seem very hard for me to believe that the way that this would play out would be the way that the Marlins, at least from the report from Clark yesterday, would say it would, which would basically, Stanton would then stand up and say, you know what, if this is the tack I'm going to stay, you can get rid of everybody else. This game of chicken, I don't know that it'll be won by either side, but it's from a public relations standpoint, and given the pristine record that Derek Jeter's had for the last 30 years, I cannot believe this kind of information would come out like this. Whether or not this is a plan or not, it's just shocking to me to see. I do understand the point where he lives, and I'm familiar with it because I live in South Florida. I think inevitably what Stanton wants to do, and John Morosi, had this story the other day, is I think that he would like to exhaust every option before deciding, okay, I'm not going to be able to play for the Dodgers. And then at what point does it become my best option? The only thing that I, and this is complete speculation and guess on my point, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but the report, what that kind of says to me yesterday is maybe what the Marlins have done is they've looked at the offers they've gotten from San Francisco and St. Louis. They love the offer from the Cardinals. This is a guess. But they're hesitant because they don't know if he's going to accept the trade or not, and they're frustrated because they would love to get the players back in return from them, and they know they may not be able to. So that's a guess on my part, but that seems to be the most plausible answer why a story like that would come out.
It seems like it'd be easy just to ask Stanton if he'd go, or are he and Jeter still not talking?
Yeah, that's another bizarre one. I don't think that Jeter has to have a relationship as the owner, an incoming owner. I mean, it seems to me that the reason why he hasn't talked to him and has said as much is probably because he knows he's going to trade him. But it is a little strange. I will tell you, though, the report that I had in July was not speculation. I mean, this was either Stanton or one of his representatives telling the team. So that's a fact. Now, since then, I don't have facts like that. And this is all speculation as to what he will or won't do since then. But that was the indication that the front office got when they were approached, either by him or somebody's representative or somebody who knows him. This is a direct source involved in the information.
I think one of the other theories that speculation has taken some people, that if the Cardinals, who, like every other major league team, have intel on certain situations, are investing this much time in trying to get a deal done for Stanton, if the reports are true, again, it's all speculation because the Cardinals aren't talking, neither is Stanton, but they must know that this is a possibility for Stanton coming to St. Louis if they would work this hard to try to put something together, that maybe they have some intel that comes from somewhere within the Stanton camp.
That's an interesting point, and I've heard that, and I'll respectfully disagree, and I'll tell you why. If you're the Cardinals, I think that you have to do your due diligence, and you have to make this offer, even if you know there's no chance in the world that Stan's going to accept this trade, because for the passionate fan base that you guys know of, and the front office that obviously, the postseason issue of the last couple of years, I think that they have to do this. Like, even if they know there's no chance, they have to put the best possible deal together so that if Stanton spurns them, or inevitably they trade him to L.A. or San Francisco, they can say, hey, we put our best foot forward. We tried. We did everything possible, and it didn't work out. I think they're under obligation to do it, whether or not they know. I don't know. But how can you explain to a fan base, well, we weren't really sure if he would accept or not, so, you know, we put this deal together. I think the Cardinals are trying to do as much as possible to appease and say, hey, look, we're going to do everything we can. Whether or not he's going to come, we don't know. I think that's where it stands.
Craig Mish of MLB Network Radio with us discussing in depth Giancarlo Stanton and the Cardinals in the State of the Union in South Florida and here in St. Louis. If I'm not mistaken, Craig, you were one of the first people, if not the first person, to report some of the players the Cardinals were discussing sending to the Marlins organization. Is that accurate? And if so, could you expound?
Yeah, the only player that I was told, and I don't know if this is a centerpiece of the deal, but at least one of the players that was in the deal was mentioned was pitcher Sandy Alcantara, who made his debut last year in the big leagues and, of course, pitched in the Arizona Fall League. And for people who I'm sure are familiar with him, if you're a Cardinals fan, but, you know, very hard-throwing, right-handed pitcher, you know, featured in the back end of the bullpen, could end up being a closer. I think he could be a starter. I think he could be the best starter maybe on the Marlins right now. That was the one player in that deal. And then, of course, you know, the deal of the names that I put out in San Francisco, that was their kind of initial offer, from what I'm told, to kind of get the ball rolling. And this is how things work in terms of trades. One team sends over some players, the other team sends some back. But that was kind of the initial blush with that. Beyond Alcantara's name with the Cardinals, I was told that that was the name that they were at least dangling initially. I didn't hear Alex Reyes' name. I didn't hear Luke Weaver's name. His name was the first that I had heard. And
but to be clear, that doesn't mean that they're not including Reyes or Weaver. You just didn't hear that name. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on that.
I didn't hear it, but I'm almost certain Reyes was. I can't be 100%, but I asked specifically about Reyes, and I was not told yes. So Weaver, I have no idea, but I did not hear Alcantara, let me be clear. Alcantara's name was the only name that I did hear. I did follow up with asking about Reyes, and the answer was no.
Okay.
You think it would take two, three, four players and taking on that contract to get him?
Okay, so that's the final point here. That's where we're at. Here's my belief on this situation. I believe that the Giants are willing to do anything and everything to get Stanton, which would also include taking on the entire contract. And so that has them as the favorites right now, with obviously the Cardinals being, I think, in second, and the Dodgers third, unless the Dodgers really want to get serious about it, and the Red Sox have to be mentioned. I don't know. I think that when the Giants offer comes in, the Cardinals probably will be in the conversation. How far are the Cardinals willing to go to get this done? Are they willing to take on the whole deal? Are they willing to give up, take on the whole deal and give up better players than what the Giants are? Because those are two things they can do. Are they willing to do that? And if they are, then at that point, we'll really find out whether or not Stanton wants to go to St. Louis or not, because I think the Cardinals probably have a better chance in terms of what they can offer. But I do think the Giants are all in for right now till the end. And so will the Cardinals beat that offer? We'll find out. I don't know.
How serious do you think the Dodgers would be? Cause it seems like that's where he really wants to go, just from what I've read. And the Dodgers, could they possibly make that happen by getting rid of some other players, clear up a little payroll?
Yeah, I mean, the one scenario that I had heard floated, and this is not coming from any source or anything like that, but kind of speculated, was the Dodgers have, I guess, Adrian Gonzalez, who has a 1 year deal or 1 year left on his contract. And if the Marlins were able to take him back in a deal, then potentially that would wipe out 1 year of Stanton's salary. I think it's about the same. And then the Marlins maybe could consider shipping Gonzalez to an American League team where he could be a DH and taking on a lot of that salary, but not incur the whole thing. You know, again, that's complete speculation. What I think, where the Dodgers have the advantage is twofold. Number one, he wants to play for them. And number two, the Dodgers, the way they see things, as crazy as it may seem, even with the Giants being in last place and the Dodgers at first, the Dodgers would love to do anything to stick it to the Giants. You know, it's like the Cubs and Cardinals. Like if the Dodgers can step in at the last minute and avoid Stanton going to San Francisco, they may want to try and do that. I'm told that, you know, you can't ignore them. They'll swoop in the last minute, just like they did with Yu Darvish. Whether or not they do that in this situation remains to be seen.
With these things, there is a team usually that seems to come out of nowhere, kind of hiding in the grassy knoll somewhere. Is there a team that may be in on Stan that we haven't read about that could be out there lurking?
I haven't heard of one. The only thing that I was told yesterday when I inquired and asked to push a little bit further on the Cardinals was not to ignore the Red Sox. Like, they just have to be in the conversation. But I was told it was a long shot. I think we've all heard the Phillies name come up. I have not heard that once through any of my sources. So the only teams that I had heard, San Francisco, St. Louis, L.A., and Boston, and some people floated the Yankees. I had not heard the Yankees either. So for me, it's those four teams at the moment.
Craig Mish, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Craig, I want to go back to what you said a little bit earlier in our interview regarding it was not speculation in July that Stanton would not approve a trade to St. Louis. And you said it was a lifestyle thing in the sense that he just did not want to live in the Midwest. Can you elaborate on that? And are there other cities or parts of the country where he does not want to live as well?
No, I hadn't heard that. The only thing that happened at the time, and remember, some of the information that I had got at that time is directly correlated also with the previous regime. Remember, there's a lot of front office executives and people that are associated with the Marlins who are no longer there. So let's start with that. But the agreement that I had mentioned back in July with the Marlins in the previous regime, which seems to be different than the other, is when Jeffrey Luria, the owner of the Marlins, gave Stanton that contract. They included the no-trade clause, which was a first for the Marlins. They'd never, under Luria, given any player a no-trade clause, hence they traded a lot of their players at different times. But the one agreement that they did give Stanton would be if any team or any teams were to approach the club and it got beyond, hello, how are you, they would in turn at least contact either Stanton or his representative to say, hey, look, we've had conversations with these teams. And the indication back in July that I got was a no on the Cardinals and a, well, maybe on San Francisco. And then when I pushed further, it was just nothing against the Cardinals organization or anything like that. I mean, look, Stanton spends a lot of time in Jupiter, and the Cardinals are, you know, Jim, you know, there's 10 feet away. Like, I mean, everyone's with each other. You know, they're, you know, they get along just fine. It just was a matter of, in my opinion, as things are coming to light more, is that he just wants to be in Los Angeles and he wants to play for the Dodgers, and he wanted to see that through before any other teams were discussed. And was it a knee-jerk reaction on his part? Was it just a, hey, no, don't do this? I don't know. I don't know the answers. But from every indication I got, that this was not something that was just speculated or made up. This was a direct either conversation or relationship that they had. And again, this is not the same one that Jeter has with Stanton. It just seems to me that if they find a trade partner, they're going to move him. This isn't, hey, we're going to go to you, Giancarlo, on anything. That was the deal with the previous regime and not the current.
Wherever he winds up, whether it's St. Louis or somewhere else, what kind of player do you think that team can expect over the next 5 years? He's had the one monster year and a bunch of really good years, but he's been a superstar probably just this last year. You think that's more like the Stanton that we would expect over the next few years?
It's a great question, because a year ago right now, if we're sitting here and we're talking about trading Stanton, they probably couldn't move him. He would be unmovable in terms of the contract. But because based off this 1 year where he finally realized his potential, I think everybody has seen what can be. And look, he's a very good player and had some really freak injuries, getting hit, getting hit in the head and having some strange things happen to him and being out for the season. The one thing that I think throws a little bit of a wrench into this whole thing is he does have an opt-out in 3 years. So any team that's taking him on, they have to understand that in all likelihood, he probably wouldn't opt out unless something serious happened in terms of injury. But what I think is that he finally found either a training regimen or just a way of living or whatever it is. Sometimes these athletes, it takes 5 or 6 years to figure out their own body. And I think that's probably was what happened to him. Can you pencil him in for 162 every year? I don't think so. I think he needs to be on some sort of maintenance plan, but I think that you could lock him in for 150 year after year. Okay. I think he's finally found his way, And remember, getting hit in the head is rare, and being out for a season getting hit in the head is super rare. And if he didn't get hit a couple of years ago, I mean, we could have been talking about a year last year that he would have had 2 years ago.
Craig, so when it's all said and done, two questions. When do you think, relatively speaking, this will be completed? And where do you think he plays in 2018?
There have been some reports that it's not close. I'm told it's about halfway home. So I think we're about, you know, we're in that stage now where I think the information is going to start to come out a little bit more. You know, again, still some work to be done. I think the winter meetings will be interesting in 2 weeks. I'll be there. Hopefully at that point we'll get a lot more clarity. I think we will in terms of the teams. You know, it's such a difficult guess to prognosticate where he will be. I'm not going to change my stance based on, you know, where I started with this back in July, which was San Francisco showing the most interest and then St. Louis second. I do think the Cardinals have the most to offer. My belief is the Giants are all in on this, and so I'm going to stick with the Giants, you know, making the acquisition, but I could easily be wrong here. This isn't something that I would guarantee by any means. And again, based on last night and that story, I think that even though it's being taken in different ways, I think it does open up the book a little bit more for the Cardinals at this point. So Giants 1, Cardinals 2, Dodgers 3, Red Sox 4, which could change in an hour. You never know.
There is Craig Mish with us of MLB Network Radio, monitoring the situation with Giancarlo Stanton. Craig, we really appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Craig Mish on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Your reaction to what you heard from Craig Mish, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Call in. Text in, and you can email in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Gentlemen, your reaction.
Well, this is nothing against his reporting because, I mean, he's done a good job of talking to everyone he can, but he says it himself. It's all speculation at this point until we actually hear from Stan. So it's hard to know how to feel about it.
I still believe he will somehow wind up with the Dodgers. He'll go where he wants to go, or he won't go anywhere. That's what I think. I don't think any of the trade proposals from the Cardinals or the Giants will mean anything if the guy doesn't want to go there.
But and that's assuming, okay, he wants to go to the Dodgers so badly that he's willing to sit out, you know, or play in Miami, I should say, and sit out the possibility of being a winner, you know, and watch it from afar with the Marlins. It's hard to know.
I don't know that he would be on a winner with the Giants. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in all of baseball last year. He might make the Cardinals a winner. He might push the Cardinals over the top. I don't think he's going to do that with the Giants. I just think if I'm him and I've got all the leverage, I'm not going anywhere unless it's exactly where I want to go.
Yeah.
And from what I've been reading, that's where he wants to go.
One thing about the Dodgers you have to think is that they don't have the prospects the Cardinals do. And they've already said that we are not going to go over the luxury tax. And they have to worry about Kershaw next year opting out of his contract. And you know what it's going to cost to re-sign him? I don't know where they have the money.
Well, they'd have to trim some other people. Like what Craig Mish just said, they'd have to probably lose Adrian Gonzalez.
Well, then you got to find somebody that the Marlins can have a trade partner with him because they don't want that salary. So
no,
they're going to have to get rid of him.
I wouldn't think they would.
But here's the thing. If Doug's right, and I said the same thing, I don't know as he's a guy you can put a gun to his head and say, hey, you're going to be here next year with a bunch of scrubs. So be it. You know, if he's got a lifestyle that he likes in Miami, but he wants to change and be with the winner, he can wait it out. And then in a season, a lot of things change. You know, a lot of players fall on hard times or get hurt, and all of a sudden the Dodgers view things differently. Again, it's all speculation.
Yeah. Boy, we're left to do nothing but speculate. Because this has basically come down to speculation. And it would be speculative if we were to go any farther with the speculation.
Well, I've done my part again. With the Twitter thing, I'm also, as we speak, in contact with a realtor. I sent the pictures of his pad in Miami. And I said, if you could look in the Rock Hill, DePere, Kirkwood area and find a comparable property to this penthouse overlooking the water, then maybe we can sort of ease his transition to St. Louis by giving, hey, There are very similar places to where you live right now, right in the St. Louis area proper.
Don't sleep on this place where Biff lives. He can see the Mississippi River from there.
The old man.
Yeah, if you want waterfront property, that's what we can do for you.
Biff has an extra bedroom, too. He could live with Biff for the short term.
Yeah, save a buck that way as well.
And you could sit out there and watch rusted refrigerators just drift down the old mighty Miss.
Yep. Dead bodies floating down the river like cordwood.
Maybe try a little noodling on an off day.
It's a different lifestyle. It's a different lifestyle. But I think it's one he might embrace.
And again, we don't really know what's in Stanton's mind about where he would live.
Apparently, even the Marlins ownership is not sure, which is hard to believe. Wouldn't that be the first call you'd make?
Yes. But I've said this before, based on the fact that they're seeking investors, based on the fact that they hadn't spoken to him, I'm just not so sure that new ownership group has hit the ground running.
Well, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, Jeter had this pristine reputation his entire time as a player, and now suddenly he's done some things that people don't like him that much. That didn't take long. A little longer than it took for Matt Lauer, I guess.
Doug wanting to weave in a topic.
I was thinking,
yeah.
Sometimes I do a narrative.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, old Matt Lauer got it today. Mm-hmm. He was making 28.
You know, that's like when I want to sing. I'm going to sing no matter what anyone else says.
He was making the same money that Stanton's making. 28 mil a year he was making for that. Down the drain.
Well, I'm sure I'll bet you anything to make it go away nicely, he got a nice parachute.
I don't know if he would.
Oh, I'll bet they... Look, you don't want him talking about it. You don't want anyone else talking about it. So you work out a deal. And to the big networks, that's monopoly money.
Well, that may be, but I don't know that you fire somebody for sexual accusations or sexual wrongdoing and then pay him a bunch of money for it.
Well, you pay him a bunch of money so they don't suddenly show up on a talk show talking about it. It would be my guess.
Why would he do that? Why? Are you even further embarrassing himself by saying what he did to women at work?
I'm just saying that's how it's usually done in that kind of thing. There's a little package put together. Am I wrong, Tim? You think Lauer got money to go away quietly?
I know this is horrible radio, but my honest answer is I don't know. And it's like, you know, it's a serious topic, so I truthfully don't know. It's such a, you know, I mean, usually, at least it strikes me on these stories that there's a little bit of a rumbling, then the announcement. And on this, I mean, I'm just sitting on my couch at 6:10 and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere. And Brian Stelter, who is covers media, what's the name of the show he hosts on CNN? Reliable Sources, I guess, said that the understanding in media over the last couple of weeks is that the New York Times were working on an expose on Lauer, and NBC was preparing itself for that, and then they received an email on Monday night detailing one specific incident, but then indicating that there were multiple others, and that's why they took action.
And they're
so Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb open up the Today Show. I'm sure people were like, oh, where's Matt Lauer today? Must be sick. Announcing that he has been fired and reading the email that was sent to NBC staffers from the president of NBC News.
Supposedly, and I don't know nothing about it. I didn't know about it until I saw it on Twitter when I came in this morning. But supposedly, from texts I'm getting, there were rumors about Matt Lauer and his behavior for years.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah. Another situation like that where people in the industry had heard things. It doesn't mean it's true, but had heard things over the years.
There was a story that came out 5-6 years ago that he had an affair with one of the co-anchors there. But that's what he'll be remembered for now. Just like Charlie Rose, they put in the decades at the network at the highest level of their profession and do outstanding work for so long, and all they're going to be remembered for is, yeah, you were the guy who got fired because you couldn't behave yourself at work.
But I mean, it's to say behave yourself might mean, you know, you took home a couple of reams of copying paper. I mean, these are serious allegations.
Any more vile terms than that.
I mean, it's stunning. I don't know. I don't have all the. I didn't read any of the details of what Lauer allegedly did, but the stuff on Rose was just pure vile. I mean, so to me, I don't feel bad that all these good works he did. This guy was a predator, in my opinion, from what I read. I don't
know. I'm bad for him. I'm just saying that's the reality that they're facing. I mean, they were right at the top of their profession. And now they're going to be a laughingstock for the rest of their life.
Well, I mean, absolute power does corrupt absolutely unless you're someone that is able to check yourself. And we see a lot of these guys, they must think that these young women want that sort of attention. I mean, in a way, this whole thing, it's a good wake-up call for everybody.
Yeah.
Just be a normal human being.
And you got to figure this isn't just because they flirted with some girls at work. It's got to go way beyond that.
Well, did you see the stuff Rose did? I mean, yeah, these unsuspecting women that thought they were there to help him do work, and all of a sudden he's standing naked with his robe open?
How twisted do you have to be?
It's
the
twisted.
Same with John Conyers. They say now everyone in his staff there has seen him in his underwear at work. Seriously?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. How does it get to that?
I don't get the thought process.
I don't either.
It's one of the only times on the show I'm uncomfortable discussing a topic because it's so sensitive, but from the perspective of a man, from the perspective of somebody who has hired women and has really wanted to hire more to speak to increase voices from different backgrounds, not just minorities, but women, so often in St. Louis, but really across the board. I mean, sports talk radio, for the most part, is a white male industry. And I'm not trying to heal the world. I just think if you get people from different backgrounds, and that includes diversity amongst ages, in addition to backgrounds, and whether that be race, religion, gender, whatever the case might be, you get more voices to the table. And you can get different perspectives. I think that's healthy. I think that's good business. That's not, again, me trying to heal the world. I'm conscious for myself personally of knowing what I talk about on the radio, sexual stuff that I realize other people are not comfortable with or wouldn't want to talk about themselves or wouldn't want to hear or have their kids hear, that if anybody ever came forward and said, oh, Tim McKernan harassed me, 99% of the people, of course he did. Have you ever heard him on the radio? So I've always been so conscious, not of course of not harassing, that's not on the table, but not even talking like in anything in any way that could be misconstrued. It's like Melissa Marr, who has been working with me since 2009, says he's the least sexual person I've ever been around in the workplace. Like, I'm so conscious of the whole thing. I mean, it's business ownership, but it's also just the way you treat people. So then to apply it to a position of power, and granted, you're talking, $100 million contract here, I don't get what would go through the mind of someone to want to have some kind of sexual relationship with a non-willing participant. It just doesn't, it doesn't jive for me. Oh. And I feel like inadvertently I'll make a comment that would be taken the wrong way, like making light of it, which I'm not doing. But, for example, like when we talk about sexual acts on the show, and we as dumb as like the water sports stuff, it seems to me, I guess psychologically for somebody, it's the ideal of either being dominant or being just completely submissive, and that's the turn on. For me, I don't get it, but whatever. People listen to the foot fetish thing, and some people go, my God, what in the world is going on? And some people are like, yeah, I think it's kind of hot. Whatever the case might be. For me, when I hear about the furry thing, I'm like, what in the hell? I just, for the life of me, I can't figure that out.
No. That's
and along those funny. Lines, and I realize it sounds like it's humorous, but I'm trying to attempt to tie it together. I don't know how anybody, number one, could get any sexual gratification out of having a non-willing participant. I can't imagine risking a career over that. And then primarily doing something that hurts someone. I can't grasp it. And I guess part of me throughout the whole part of this is like, I'm so oblivious to it because I just haven't been around it. I haven't been around it in television, like period. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. I guess if it goes on, it's not going on out in the open. In 20 years of doing this, I suppose I've been in meetings, not on air, where I've been like, yeah, I wouldn't say that, and I wish you wouldn't have said that. Not that it was like somebody hitting on, but it was just like, don't say this, don't say that. That, but not like where I would consider it like somebody's like hitting on or trying to, you know, put themselves or ask somebody out or something like that on a female employee. But clearly it goes on. I guess I'm always, I insta-click, I guess it's got to be my own personal experience with having things written about me that I know are false. And then I know then get written, then they get social media and everybody's, oh, you did this. And I'm like, I didn't do it, but I can't say anything. And so I have a soft spot for that. But throughout all of these things, with the exception of Jeremy Piven, which is one that, you know, is like 10th on the list, if that, from all of these that started with the Harvey Weinstein thing, all of these guys have acknowledged that, yeah, they did it. I mean, Louis C.K. was thorough. I mean, I guess if you want to go to the Roy Moore thing, I don't know if I would describe it. I guess you would describe it as a denial. I hate even bringing up Roy Moore because then it's going to line up political text. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to try and put
he's
everybody.
He's denied the serious allegation.
Right.
He's denied. Spacey at first seemed to try to blame it on the fact that he was homosexual.
Well, I thought that was awful just because it's like he, I think he wanted to try and soften it by then making his big announcement that he was gay.
I think he tried to pin it on that.
Right, which really turned off a lot of people in general, but specifically gay people. Like, oh my God, you're going to try and use that powerful moment as a way to try to use a get out of jail free card. Jeremy Piven's the only one, and it hasn't gotten much attention. And I like I said, I have a soft spot for the person being accused and then convicted in the court of public opinion and then says, I didn't do it. I'm willing to take a lie detector test, whatever the case might be, you know, and then you get lumped in with those who acknowledge. Al Franken addressed it yesterday, but continues to say, I don't remember the rehearsal.
He apologizes for the things he doesn't remember, sort of.
He said he's just a hugger. He did say that. He likes to hug people.
So, you know, I it's just, like I said, it's such a weird, because it's so low upside, high downside to talk about it, because every word that somebody says in a public forum, and now we're doing it, which is why I hadn't talked about it, but here we are, has risk. And so what's the upside of discussing it? But those are my own personal experiences and feelings, and also just honest, cognizant behavior in the fact that I realize I say things and do things that plenty of people would not want to say or do, and I respect that. God bless them. But therefore, if somebody were to ever accuse me, I know that the public would be like, of course. I mean, for the like 0.1% of the population who knows who I am, of course he did. So I've always, especially since I, you know, own the business, but just in general, because it's the right thing to do, never wanted to ever put a female in a position where she was uncomfortable in the workplace, ever, ever. And I just, for the life of me, and that's owning Inside STL, you know, I don't think we're in the Fortune 500 this year. I think we're close.
Maybe.
Knocking on the door.
Thank you.
502,
right, ballpark. Yeah. But when you have, you're talking about people who have hundreds of millions of dollars, and to just be so blasé about it, and again, acknowledging it. But like I said, number one, treating people terribly. For the life of me, I don't get it. But it's clearly widespread, and in that capacity, to call it eye opening is not fair to the word eye opening. It's beyond that. I had absolutely no idea, completely oblivious, and I'm embarrassed by that.
I've read the stuff about Charlie Rose, and you know, you're just reading what the reports are.
So you read this before the report? Are you aware of this before?
No. Oh, the aftermath.
Report?
In the aftermath, you're trying to distract us again.
Sorry.
And I got the sense of an old guy who felt like he was entitled to do whatever he wanted to do. And I think there's an entitlement that some of these really rich, powerful guys felt where they didn't take into account what the other person was feeling. It never crossed their mind. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
There's a bunch of very wealthy, very powerful people just being taken down and having their lives shattered. In the big picture, this is probably a really good thing for this country that this is all coming out now, and maybe it sends the message to everybody else, you can't do that, and you're not going to get away with it anymore. I don't think you should even tell a girl at the workplace, boy, you look nice today. Can't say anything. Don't say anything.
I think it's power, wealth, and fame that they think that a lot of things don't apply to them. You know, Matt Lauer, Weinstein, Don't they know who I am? They have to want me. Look at me. I'm worth $400 million. I'm famous. I've done all these. They have to want me. I think that goes through the mind of some of these wealthy, famous star people that think, this doesn't apply to me. I know they have to want me.
And when you read the accounts of some of these things, to me, one of the things that kind of tied them together, I don't know if this is, but, oh, that's Kevin Spacey being Kevin Spacey. Well, maybe in the past, that was accepted. Not anymore, which is, as Doug said, a good thing for the country. Not anymore.
It's probably a watershed moment in behavior at the workplace for the country. You hope so, anyway. You would think these guys, if they're that desperate for female companionship, you know, go to a party, go to a bar. Why are you going to do it at work? I mean, you just set yourself up for this.
Because they feel like they're entitled. And then the old guys like Charlie Rose somehow convince themselves that the girl likes having, you know, a 70-year-old naked guy next to him. Really?
But I mean, we talked about it a little bit, I guess it was either yesterday or Monday. Like, there's what timber fake caliber of self-awareness do you have that you think is a 60-year-old overweight man that the 25-year-old's like, man, I'd sure love to see his penis. You know, if I can get through his gut hanging over it,
right?
Really, you think that's the case? So there's just a thought process that I just can't possibly
absolute power. I think corrupts. You don't think normally because you're in this bubble where you're entitled to anything you want because you're powerful.
They have enormous egos, enormous, and they're using their power with leverage against the women. You want what you want, you got to give me what I want. And they're going to pay a steep, steep price. I mean, for the rest of their life, they'll have to deal with that.
Hoosier of Huntley, I'm not reading your text because it's vile, but I did giggle.
That's a setup for me, by the way. I'm on the wing as the two guard, usually playing point. Did you guys hear the latest about the KMOV Sports Sunday anchor that liked to walk around the studio with Olive Garden breadsticks hanging out of his caboose?
No. Who said that?
It's the Hoosier of Huntley.
See, here come the accusations. Hoosier of Huntley has been suspended. He's been suspended a period
Way
of
to
six,
take cues, Tim.
Six days.
Yeah, I had an open look.
Charges have been troubled because they are so false. Hoosier of Huntley. I would like to take this time to thank the people at Right Business Products for branding the ink pen that I'm using right now.
Why don't you thank Ryan Kelly? He was here on the patio at Kirkwood Brewhouse last night having himself a nice little evening.
Oh, that's great seeing
quite
him.
A bit. I did thank him quite a bit. Not just for being there last night and joining the party, but for his fabulous mortgages. Of which I have acquired two of them in the refinance process.
You've been blessed enough.
Yes, I have. I would suggest anybody do it. Rates are at historic lows.
Yeah, but if like you're like me.
Historic lows.
Nine? You're not messing with that.
I would go ahead and mess with it. I would have messed with it maybe 20 years ago, but you know, better late than never. And I think Ryan would tell you the same thing.
I like him.
If you're, yeah, we all love Ryan Kelly.
All right, maybe I'll
And
do
you'll
it.
Like him even more if you refinance.
Would he give me like an 8?
I think he could do considerably better than that. Some rates are in the twos. In the threes, yeah, get yourself a 15-year mortgage and pay that thing off and save, oh, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars over the life of you. Maybe you're not interested in that. I was, and so that's why I refinanced with Ryan Kelly, and that's why you should too. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team, what they do is they work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781.
What's wrong?
Call Ryan.
You're right.
314.
Pull it together, man.
Pull it together, boy. 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
And for the record, I used to really like Olive Garden breadsticks. No more. I don't think I could ever
They're
have
unlimited,
those again.
Aren't they? They're unlimited.
Yeah, it's like bottomless fries at Red Robin.
That's what this country needs is more buttered breadsticks. When you look around and see the marvelous shape that so many of us are in, what we need are more buttered breadsticks.
It's not that.
Plenty of them.
It's the visual that I got off the text line that will prevent me from enjoying those in the near future.
Doug, hear the Barstool chicks talking about Prince Harry. What? I was segueing into a... Hear the Barstool chicks talking about Prince Harry's engagement.
Prince Harry is engaged to Meghan Markle, a royal engagement to an American.
I love royal engagements. I love royal weddings.
Honestly, a duchess is a badass name.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I think of duchess, I think of Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street, and she's like, I'm the duchess.
The Duchess of Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Princess is nice. Like, oh, I'm a princess. But duchess is more of a badass term.
She's just a normal girl, and she just falls in love with Prince Harry, breaking tons of girls' hearts.
Honestly, people love Prince Harry.
Prince Harry because he's a prince.
Yes.
They don't love Prince Harry because of his looks. And also, a little side note, Queen's a little bit of a bitch. I'm the queen. Okay. I say whatever. Everyone does what I say.
See, like, I love the royal family. I will never knock the queen. The one thing that will always stand true is the corgi test.
And the corgis took you straight away.
The corgis liked Meghan Markle.
Huge.
Oh, it makes me so happy. I love love. I love their love. I can't wait for them to get married.
Heaven's sakes.
Good stuff. So what do you think about what...
Why do we still care about the make-believe queen and the make-believe princess and duchess? They're in charge of nothing.
Mm-mm. What do they spend to upkeep the royal family over there?
I do have to think, like $25,000?
$26,000?
No, seriously, for Euros? A country to Brexit? Support a royal family that does nothing?
Yeah.
Except being figureheads?
Yeah. I don't get it. I
See,
guess people still like the tradition of it all.
Has had a... proposal to the British Parliament for years, letting them handle revenue streams where the royal family could make the money back for a small nominal handling fee of
67%.
It's industry standard.
Parliament hasn't gotten back to me, though. You know, you have like royal family lunch boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
Put out a line of royal family muffins. And there now the royal family's making money for that country. And 67% or something goes
Prince
to me.
Charles has been waiting to be king of that country for decades, and it's not happening for him.
What's the difference?
He's got to be mid-70s himself.
What's the difference? If you're suddenly the king, what does it really matter?
Well, because that's a nice title.
Your fake salary goes up?
Duchess is a badass title. How about king?
Nice.
But it doesn't mean anything anyway.
No, it doesn't.
It is. This is from 2013-2014. Taxpayers spent $35.7 million. Pounds to keep up with the royal staff, maintenance of the property, travel, etc.
Yeah.
Very normal.
That's a good way to spend your money.
That's one thing we can all agree on in this country, which is so divided right now, is that we don't play that stuff in this country. Can you imagine?
No. That has a lot to do
royal
with
family?
What started this country.
Was it tea taxes?
Well, King George, we were kind of upset with him.
Watch this.
T. I don't think
that. Were they singing that as they dumped the tea in the old Back Bay?
Sam Adams was, if you take a look at it. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. It's I-270 McDonald Boulevard. If you're in the market for a new car, what about a used car or getting your car serviced? It's Gateway Buick GMC. Gateway Buick GMC is proud to announce they are one of the only dealers in the area qualified to say they are a certified elite service department with their certified GM technicians working in 37 service bays to get you in and out in a hurry. Get ready for winter with Gateway's fall care offers. We're always ready to meet or beat any tire price in town. Buy one, get one free on wipers and more. Take advantage of their free shuttle and fleet of new loaner cars. Make it easy. You can book your service appointment online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or call 888-865-9419. Gateway, the right way. Yeah, Doug, getting ready for winter, it's not even on my mind when it's 70 degrees. We were outside on the patio here last night. I was out until like 8:30. A little chill came in. I think it was an Alberta Clipper that shot through Kirkwood at like 8:25, but a perfect evening, and here we are on November 29th.
I love it. I went home and sprayed an aerosol aerosol can out above my house to keep that ozone hole open, just to keep the warm weather coming. I'm not a fan of winter. If I never see another snowflake, I'd be happy.
What about the future generations that won't have an ozone layer to protect them from the harmful rays of the sun?
I think they'll be happier in the warm weather as well.
What about when their skin melts off? Eventually, if the ozone dissipates, because the ozone does protect us from some of the harmful rays.
Put on some clothes. You move up to Montana, Alaska. Alaska's huge. There's room for all of us up there in Alaska. You go wherever it's going to be, 70, 80
They don't have
degrees.
Ozone in Alaska?
Nope.
Well, apparently not much.
All right.
There's lots of places to go to move north.
Yeah, but
if it gets too hot.
But I thought the ozone layer surrounded the Earth proper.
I think it
You're
does.
You're saying in some areas they don't need
some
the ozone.
Some areas are still colder, ozone or no ozone.
But what about the harmful rays? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, then put on a coat.
Okay. I got some spray to keep your hole open, Doug. Get at me, boo.
Who would say such a thing? Who?
Iggy's lie detector.
Iggy's lie detector. Suspend it. He's wondering how long. Well, period of 2 days' time.
I know we have to head for break. I did want to
never say that. Never say that.
The owner of the radio station, Randy, for putting together a beautiful studio now. They put new signage up
for
the
open house. Have you seen the signage? It looks great. It really does.
It really looks great. And they had a really nice event, as you mentioned, out on the patio. They had some food from the Kirkwood Brewhouse that was delicious.
Plowboy and Doug got an argument over what wing they should eat.
Yeah, you take the peg leg. You take the bigger peg leg. You don't
Drummy
take the other
has
part.
Too much of the chewy fat content that's not really a meat. I'm telling you, those... What do you call them? Little wingies?
Yeah. And
you can
clip that off.
You. I really do love you.
Well, they pull apart, and there's so much meat. It is just
would you say
dripping
that,
out.
Would you say
there's
that
the meat
that the lower part, the lower part, not the drummy, the other part of the wing is more succulent? Would you say that?
Succulent, juicy, you know, a little bit more tender, and you don't have that, you know, that fat, that gristle. That gristle?
On the, don't
see,
eat the gristle.
I disagree, but respectfully, because I do love you. I like the drumette part because you're getting more volume. You're getting more volume for
absolutely.
Your money. You don't want to be tearing part little pieces of the wing and, you know.
I thought this was
a whole to do.
I'm surprised I'm even arguing. Yeah.
It's a whole to do.
You always take the drumstick, the peg leg. You always take that. Not the wingy thing. Is there a name for the wingy thing?
Wingy thing. You just said it.
But there's got to be a better name for it than that.
I don't think I'll look during the break.
Right.
Here, but I'll do it right here. It's called the posterior flexor.
Yep.
Not only did we have this fabulous party, but now we have a padded studio. I wonder if people can
acoustic
hear,
paneling.
I wonder if they can hear the difference in the way we sound now.
And I forgot,
week.
We buried the lead because the guest studio is now supposedly open.
That's right. Listeners could come in and give a comment.
So someone could technically, if they want to drive over
like
here,
the hipster at Tower Grove South,
could just not come him. In and it's a comment studio. You can just walk in, wave. And we'll take your question with our hand on the dump button, ready to go.
Wouldn't it be easier to call in?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, but
you
can all the way here.
You can see us in person, though. Imagine that.
Yeah. You
know? I didn't notice it. I posted a picture this morning to let the fan page know that the Cuck Studio is open. And somebody pointed out that it's missing an E. It's supposed to say the comment. It says TH comment studio. Is it missing an E?
It just says comment booth. I'm seeing.
I thought there was a T-H in there.
Doug?
I can't see
I'll
it.
I'll look at it. Maybe it's in, it maybe it's here. In like it's in memory of someone.
I'll
it's
look at the break.
Thomas know. Hoover comment right. studio.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt?
I couldn't think of a T-H.
That was a Stooges. T-H. What does that stand for? Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Higuera, there it is. Teddy Higuera.
Oh, yeah, a little lefty for the Brewers.
And he always looked to me like he was a top head on a totem pole. He had that kind of face, like the kind of a square face.
Yeah, careful.
Breaking news regarding ESPN.
Oh, who's got it now?
We will tell you on the other side of the break.
Someone else got it?
This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.